This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for it must be a Tuesday, but baby, it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you, Luka Doncic to my left.
Wait, what? Let's not go.
Oh, sorry.
I don't want to go smoke hookah.
That trade got rescinded. I forgot.
Dude, I effing wish.
I tried.
And I literally almost dropped an F-bomb right there.
Dude, I tried to get Luka in here. I mean, for what he was worth, like, I was down.
Who's still smoking hookah today, these days besides, foreigners? Which is cool. I mean, that's a custom, but I remember...
Foreigners, but they're like locals where they do it.
Well, yes.
We're the foreigners.
No, there's a hookah spot down the street from my girl's house. But man, I remember, and it could just be because it was seemingly the only thing we could do in high school, but we would just go in on hookah.
When I was at Wazoo, there was a hookah bar.
Yeah. There was one in downtown Portland, right over by the Broadway Bridge, maybe the Morrison. And they were definitely letting us go in there under the age of 18. They were not checking any idea or anything like that.
We had a hookah bar at Wazoo.
Will, do you hookah? Will seems
no,
like a
not
hookah
once.
Guy.
I'm not a smoker.
Will seems like a big hookah guy.
Hookah's asthma. Different. The shashish.
I got asthma. I don't smoke.
It will clear you right up.
That's so rough, dude. You want a career in radio? Start smoking cigarettes now. Look how far I've come.
Look at him.
Hey, dude, I tried to smoke two cigars before my first time on air, and that didn't work out well for me.
Cigars aren't good.
Dumb idea.
We had a hookah bar. We had a hookah bar in Pullman when I was in college, and I think I only ever did it once because I was like, why would you smoke hookah when you could smoke weed or cigarettes? And there was always a giant sign on the door that said, and it was right on Colorado, which is like the main strip for the bars. It goes down to the stadium and there's a bunch of frat houses there and stuff and sororities. And it was right next to the Coug. The Coug ended up buying it out and now they expanded. So blah, 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 blah.
I'm guessing a bar.
Yes, the Coug, one of the oldest taverns in the state of Washington.
Mm, yeah, Ducks had one of those called Taylor's, and then they decided that they wanted to charge kids' cards when they didn't know, and also roofie drinks.
Oh, so no.
There went that staple.
No, Coug's a great spot. I know the owner, awesome dude. Coug's great. But next door used to be a hookah bar, and there was always a giant sign on the door that said, if we under any circumstance suspect you of having marijuana in your hookah, you will be escorted out of the building. Wow. And the police will arrive immediately.
Yeah.
Because it was like a thing, like they would give you the shisha
and the coals
and the coals, and they would let you build it at your table, and it would be very easy to just like
see this place in Portland. We would
sneak a little bit of the devil's lettuce into that.
Yeah, they just brought it to you. They would ask you what flavor you wanted, and they brought it to you. And then I think we started to realize when we were doing it at home, like, wait, we can put weed in this? And then we stopped going to that place in Portland.
And you were like, wow, this super sick hookah thing is actually a better vehicle for weed.
My buddy Jordan had so many burns in his carpet from coals dropping onto the ground. Yeah, they definitely had that hookah phase for a while.
What I would say, though,
get sick from it, from just taking huge rips, throwing up in the bathroom because of hookah.
What I would say, though, is if you use a hookah for marijuana, it is not efficient.
I mean, because we stopped doing it, so I'm guessing that
the tobacco that you use on it is kind of slimy. It's almost like a gel on the tobacco, and that's what lets it continue to burn.
Yeah.
So if you use a hookah for just dry flour, it just burns so fast.
Right.
And so you're putting in way more weed to use this vehicle than you would if you just, you know, roll the blunt.
Yeah, again, I think that's why we stopped doing it. We're like, I think the idea of it is cool. Like, dude, let's put weed in our hookah. And then it was not very cool at all.
And then we just rolled joints and put a little tobacco in it and smoked spliffs.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, dude, I remember a couple of my buddies in college, because in college you're broke and you don't have as much money and you're trying to make things last. What they would do is they would take mulches. Do you know what those are?
No.
It's essentially you take a, when you're smoking a bong, it's half tobacco and half weed. And so you're taking bong rips or, excuse me, water pipe hits.
Are they small, so it's like a one-hitter?
Sometimes no. Because
I know
yes.
The one-hitter as a snap.
But, yeah, they would do that sometimes, and it was ungodly, disgusting. And I would, like, come over and be like, hey, guys, let's smoke. They're like, oh, yeah, bong's back there. And it would just be the dirtiest, filthiest, never cleaned. And then I would try and smoke just weed out of it,
mm-hmm.
and it was the most unpleasant experience of my life.
One of the stupidest things we ever did.
I hated them for it every single time I went over there.
Was we had an empty half-gallon vodka plastic bottle.
Okay. HRD?
No, it was
Popov.
It was not Popov. It was this brand was Princess Alexis.
Wow.
And we would
never heard of that in my life.
We loved blunts. Blunts were the thing.
Oh, buddy, I got some stories.
So we bought boxes of Swisher Sweets, like 60 of them in a box.
Maybe go White Owl to switch things up.
I never went White Owl. I'm a Swisher guy till through and through.
Yeah.
To this day. You know, a lot of blunts rolling at 40. And we would use this bottle when you would break up the cigar. Mm-hmm. You'd break up the blunt and you'd have to dump the tobacco.
Dump the guts,
Dump the guts to get the wrap. And we would dump it into this Princess Alexis, this half-gallon empty plastic bottle. But what we did, because it was there when you rolled it, after the blunt was done and it was basically like the roach of the blunt, we would ash it in there.
Oh, you got to save those.
And then every once
in
a while.
Especially in this economy?
And then every once in a while, because we're broke college kids, didn't have any money, you would cut the top off and dump the thing out and find the roaches and take the weed that was in the roaches and re-roll them into a fresh blunt, and that was called a second generation.
Yeah, and that had been done before in my life, but going through, sifting through.
Well, you just dropped it on a big table, so you were able to, like,
you're
spread
still
it quickly.
Sifting through
yeah,
it,
yeah, but it wasn't, like, digging. It was just more like spreading.
My God, man. Yeah, one of my best friends, fellow Pitt Panther basketball fan also, He's the only other person I know that is a Pitt Panther basketball fan.
Are they still getting blown out by Syracuse?
No, they won.
Okay, all right.
They won.
It was thank big you lead very early. Much. Big lead early.
I know it was. Pitt pulled it out. But my God, that guy is still to this day. That is his
He still does it?
What, smokes blunts?
No, like re-rolls the roaches?
Absolutely not. No, oh. No. No, absolutely not. He's got a little bit more respect for himself now. But, dude, that guy, shout out to Benny G, just, we recorded 1 month, I think when we were like 19, like kept track of how many blunts in a month. And we had to do like an estimation because he was putting like two swishers side by side and making
rolling
like
a double?
Yeah.
That was called a B-La-Jeezy, where I come from.
Or doing two side by side and then connecting two at the top to make like a thicker, longer blunt.
Yeah, that's a B-La-Jeezy.
Dude, it was...
Because it was a blunt that was legit, so it was a B-La-Jeezy.
And then I think at the end of the month... We ended up kind of tallying it, and it ended up turning, I think we said that he had smoked 241 blunts in 1 month.
Wow. That's a lot.
And again, just an estimation based off of, you know, connecting different sized ones. But yeah, I mean, that was, you know, shout out to Benny G because he's still rolling them.
I'll leave you this story if we're using nicknames.
Fastest fingers in the West, too. Dude, that guy could roll up. I would literally like give him my weed and be like, all right, let's roll up. I'd walk away, watch a highlight on SportsCenter of whatever game, which usually takes about 45 seconds to a minute. I'd walk back and there he is licking it up, finishing it. I'm like, dude, you already done? Like, that is insane. It would take me 15 minutes to roll that thing.
I have a buddy who will go by Bird. And he one time rolled the Quinteezy. So if you remember the B-La-Jeezy.
I love how everybody has different names for it, because we definitely didn't call it B-La-Jeezy.
The B-La-Jeezy was two wraps connected, so it was like a super long blunt. And then he decided to roll the Quinteezy, which was four of them together. And we smoked that.
And I believe, you know, we use like...
Great friend to this day.
We called, I think when he went side by side, I think we just called it a Tony, like a Tony Sopranos, like a cigar, you know?
Because you wanted it thicker.
Yeah.
Ours went long.
See, and we just called that like an L, you know, when you have,
you're rolling an L. Yeah. Well, we did that with joints, but blunts, we never like made it like a cigar. They just went longer.
Yeah. We would make it like a cigar, go two or sometimes three. Because we didn't like backwoods. The tobacco, it was too much tobacco flavor in a backwood because they use an actual tobacco leaf. And that would just get you faded if you use a backwood. Like, I was not built for backwoods.
Well, and there was hella alcohol involved while we were doing this.
I was not built for that. But yeah, we would just call it rolling up a Tony.
Oakley Doakley.
Wow. What a segment.
What up? This is what we're doing. God, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to go home and get stoned tonight. We got a baseball show for you tonight.
Might get a chocolate in me. Who knows?
And,
and then try and jump on the tonal and then give up after 5-10 minutes.
Yeah. We got a baseball show for you tonight. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll start previewing divisions as we lead up to the start of the Major League Baseball season. People are in camp. We're playing baseball. I'm seeing highlights on the TV of stuff, and so we're ready to rumble. There's a lot to get to. We're going to preview the American League and the National League East in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we got to go crunch time. We're missing out on some days. We started late. We're not going to be here March 4th, so yep. we got to go double time on some of these.
So we're going to double time on that. So we're going to double up this week with the East, go American League and the National League. We'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour, but where we got to go first?
The fact that we were wrong on who was going to sign first, Bregman or Alonso.
Yeah, we were wrong on that. And also, the Red Sox sign a new third baseman, but hold up. They already have a third baseman. We'll get to that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, Today the Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Oops. 718 Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Will Ortner.
Tell us about
your twos tonight.
Tell us about your weed stories from college, Will.
We're going to skip baseball tonight and just talk about Will and his weed experiences.
I listened to Nancy Reagan and I just say no.
I you weren't even no alive when Nancy Reagan was alive.
Should this, I still went through DARE.
Should this 2 hours just turn into a dude? One time I got so high. Just that.
You know
over
the
and
you know
again.
You know the classic.
Dude, this one time.
You know the classic all you can eat story from Will.
No.
You don't know the, you don't know.
I got kicked out of an Applebee's.
Getting kicked out of Applebee's for the wings, right? It was wings.
Yeah, it was all you can eat wings. And after my fourth or fifth plate, I was kindly told that there would be no more wings coming.
You ever been kicked out of an Applebee's and a wing all you can eat? Yeah. You ever been kicked out of an Applebee's and a wings all you can eat? On weed?
You just got to do it, man. It'll trip you out.
I was completely sober.
Gateway drug.
The worst part
Gateway
about
drug.
That.
See, Will, that's why you have a better career here at 1080 The Fan than me and Joe. You have learned to just say no.
One of my favorite anti-pod ads ever actually came in a movie, Harold and Kumar. They're sitting there on their couch watching TV, and the commercial comes on of the two kids getting high, and the one kid is like, oh, I'm so high. Nothing can hurt me. And he just grabs a shotgun from his dad's like gun case and just blows his head off. And then immediately it's like, weed kills.
Weed will destroy you.
It's like, it's not like acid, for God's sakes. Never did
acid. Acid won't destroy you.
Never did acid in my life because all it took was like the one story from someone in high school. Like, you know, when they do their dare and they're like, you know, some kid took acid one time and thought he could fly. Jumped off a 10-story building. And I was like, that's all I need to hear to never want to do
in college.
The reality is
because he thought he could fly?
He literally, in the apartment complex I was in, he was on the fourth floor of the apartment complex.
Doing some acid.
He ran right through the window.
There you go, man. PSA right there for
right
you.
At the entrance, too. So when you, everyone who drove in that day, like, obviously you didn't see him.
Saw the blood on the street.
No, but you saw all the first responders.
Yeah, alcohol is worse for you than all of them.
Well, there you go. There's your PSA to not do acid because you cannot fly.
Speaking of
acid. Yeah.
All right. Well, well, the Red Sox have finally made some moves. We were very wrong last week, Joe. We had a fair foul from our
2 weeks ago
from our backup producer, Jordan Schultz, asking us fair or foul. Will Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman sign first? We both went Alex Bregman. And the answer was Pete Alonso back to the Mets.
Not only did we say that Alonso would sign second, but we also said that it would be dragged out, and it literally was done the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, whoops.
But fast forward a week later, and
my sources lied to me.
Fast forward a week later, and Alex Bregman is the new third baseman for the Boston Red Sox. Resident homie, boss man Ryan Cooley's Red Sox. He's got Alex Bregman at third base. Hold up. Hold up. Cooley's telling me right now that Bregman's not going to play third base.
Because he's a team player, whereas the guy that is currently playing third base is not.
Quote from Rafael Devers, third base is my position.
Is that his accent? Can you do it?
It's what I play. I don't know what their plans are. We had a conversation. I made it clear on what my desires were. Whatever happens from here, I don't know. Interesting take from Rafael Devers. And if you heard what Alex Cora said about it, Alex Cora had some interesting thoughts to say as well. He said, yes, Bregman's going to come in and he is going to train and work out at third base, as is Devers. And then as spring training rolls along, we'll make a decision from there.
And Rafael Devers was in a press conference and seemed pretty adamant that he was like, no, I'm not DHing. Like, the way he was talking and responding to reporters was very much like, yeah, you got to be effing kidding me. I'm not, no. And there might have been a language barrier breakdown where he wasn't understanding the question, whatever, because he had to kind of go to his translator at one point. But he was pretty damn adamant about not DHing. Also, part of me thinks that he should reconsider and also look at their defensive statistics and analytics between him and Bregman, because Bregman is definitely a better third baseman.
Without a doubt. I mean,
I would rather have him playing third base in the field than Devers.
I think if you look at, if you compare the two of them as players, Devers is probably the better hitter.
Yes.
Not by much, but yeah, Devers is the better hitter.
Yeah.
But I think the gap between Devers and Bregman as hitters is a lot smaller than the gap between Devers and Bregman as third baseman.
Correct.
And I think Alex Cora kind of, in my opinion, tipped his hand. And I know there's a lot of loyalty, so to say, with Cora and Bregman, being that they both cheated their asses off to win two World Series. He said, quote,
I completely forgot about that connection there.
Yeah.
No wonder he signed with Boston.
Alex Cora said this. He said, Devers has a lot of pride. We know that, and he feels he's a third baseman. He's going to work out as a third baseman, and then we're going to make our decisions accordingly. I think there, it's not about Bregman or Devers or Cora. It's about the Red Sox. Whatever decision we make is for the benefit of the team. Riddle me this, Batman. That sounds like Bregman's our third baseman.
Yeah, and granted, again, it's not up to Bregman to make the choice, but also Bregman came out and was like, dude, I'll do whatever it takes to help the team win.
And I think that's an interesting comment from Bregman, because I think if Bregman signed anywhere else but the Red Sox with Cora, I think he might have a different opinion. I thought Bregman should have signed in Detroit. I thought Detroit would have been the best place for him to be. Back with A.J. Hinch, a team full of kids that needs a veteran. He would be staple right there in the center, be instantly the best player on the team. I really liked him in Detroit. But he chose not to. He chose the money in Boston, and Cora's his guy, so of course he's going to play it straight. I don't know if he would have said that anywhere else. I think in Boston, he knows he's going to be the third baseman.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't want to look too far into, like, the psychology. I mean, like, you just signed with the team. You're excited to be there. Want to say the right thing. So maybe he deep down wants to play third base. But he's just, you know, pulling the whole team player thing. And, oh, I'll do whatever the team coach tells me. But realistically, he would like to play third base. But I don't know. I mean, like, also, it seemed like he really didn't want to go to Detroit. Like, they offered him more...
more long-term.
Yeah.
Boston gave him more short-term.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wonder if deep... I don't know. It's a good... He's going to a good situation. Like, Boston is seemingly trying to go for it.
Well, and he's what? So that helps, too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I just wonder if... Also, if he gets moved from third base and is playing a different position, how long is it going to take? And maybe Devers has the best year of his career playing third base and there's no problems, but I just wonder if they decide to start the season like, yeah, we're going to have Bregman play a different position and Devers will stay at third, how many errors and how many issues and how many things happen with Devers at third where Red Sox fans are pissed, like if it loses them one game, you know, because Boston fans,
first error.
Boston fans, we know how reasonable they are too, right?
Extremely, just like Philly.
Yes. So that's the one thing that I also wonder how that's going to play out is after the first error or second error again. Like, obviously, we'll see how the season plays out. But if it's another year that Devers has at third base, and Boston fans are like, man, like if we had Bregman playing here full time, would things be a little bit better? I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Vancouver 4, text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver 4 than you should write before, during, after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. Coming in, quote, everybody is better third base than Devers. He's led the league in errors for 7 damn years. And I think, Joe, I think you bring up a great point. Like, What is the over-under in errors Devers has at third should he play there before Red Sox fans turn on him? Yeah. He's been their guy. He's been their only guy for the last 2 or 3 years. But now that Bregman's here and they share the same position, over-under 1.5 errors for Devers at third before they start screaming for Bregman.
And then again, it's like he might give up a run playing third base because of an error, and then he goes up the bat the next inning and hits a two-run home run, and it's like, oh, well, okay.
Okay. But can't you hit that two-run home run
as
DH?
A DH? Yes.
So that's interesting. I want to hold on to that thought about those two guys and why the Red Sox would sign a third baseman knowing they have a third baseman.
They're pulling the Padres. Just sign all the shortstops.
And how another center fielder has decided to move his position. There's a lot to get to in this positional rotation. I'd like to keep that going. We'll do that next. But first, there's my boy, my man, my teammate, my quarterback. That's Will Erner with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Coming up in the second hour, we'll preview the American League and the National League East as we get closer and closer to the opening day of Major League Baseball. I'm really excited for the Japan series. I saw a marketing thing that said the Tokyo series, and on it was Shohei and Yamamoto, and the other side was Imanaga and Seiya Suzuki.
I was going to make a very off-color joke that probably would have got me in trouble. So
No, dude, this is Trump's America. You can say whatever you want.
I'm good.
I'm just waiting for the FCC to let you drop, you know, some hard R's, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you in the break.
And then in 15 minutes, we'll talk about the prize of free agent next year that has made it very clear that they will be the prize of next year. But I want to kind of continue on this Devers Bregman situation, and there's a couple layers to it, and I'll start with one before we move into kind of the history of people changing positions and some that have worked out and some that have not worked out. You have to think, if you're the Red Sox brass, and Cora alluded to this, that the president of baseball operations, he's no longer here. He has taken another job. Excuse me. So those conversations you have had with the brass in the past about being the third baseman of the future don't necessarily exist anymore because upstairs has changed. So I'm curious if...
Get ready to learn DH, buddy.
So I'm curious if the Red Sox went into this Bregman deal saying, we value Bregman more than Devers. If Devers is not compliant with moving to DH, we'll ship him out.
Dude, there's just part of me.
The pipeline in Boston is pretty good.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of young kids coming up.
There's just part of me that's just like, don't you think you would have sorted this all out before offering the contract or signing him? Like,
maybe they have sorted it out and have decided that Devers is not their future. He's a liability at third base. Great hitter. Great hitter. The Boston fans seem to not hate him.
Shocker.
I just wonder if they've done that.
Boy, imagine if he plays third base this year and has a very bad batting year.
Right?
He's going to get killed.
Bregman will be the most overqualified second baseman in the history of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of, you know, others.
I mean, there's great second basemen. Joe Morgan, yeah. Robbie Alomar, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there are fantastic second basemen over baseball, and I don't want to say that they aren't up to his snuff, but his defensive skills...
He's a gold glover, for God's sake.
Yeah, albeit not the greatest third base. He's not Nolan Arenado or Mike Schmidt or Scott Rolen, but he's really good at third. Being second is kind of an overkill. I wonder if they've had to have thought about this. Is Devers available?
That's the question I'm asking. Well, there's also part of me that looks at Boston and it's like, why not just make Bregman the third baseman, make Devers DH, and just say, too effing bad, bro.
Yeah, deal with it.
Like, you know, oh, it's my position. Well, okay, but what? No, it's my position. I play third. That's what I get. It's my position. Like,
it was your position.
Cool. You suck at third. You're really good at hitting the ball. Let's just have you. Hey, how about this? You get paid the same amount to work less.
Yeah. What would you say you do here?
There was a bunch of guys in golf that loved the idea of that. and jump ship to play less golf and get paid more, how about you do that? How about
a lot
you,
more.
How about you play less baseball and get paid more?
It made me kind of think of this. It made me think of previous players that have had to change positions to deal with whether it was injuries or new teams or young kids coming up. And the reason that I think about this is Mike Trout came out yesterday and said that he will be playing right field. Potentially, when I think of the greatest center fielders of all time, the list is Mickey Mantle.
Adam Jones.
Ken Griffey Jr. Mike Trout and Willie Mays. Like, those are the four greatest center fielders I've ever seen play baseball. Trout has decided he needs to move to right to help his body.
I mean, did you see Adam Jones's catch in the World Baseball Classic?
I mean, it's sexy. Did you see Griffey climb a wall twice?
Yeah, do that catch, like, every year.
How about Bo Jackson? But so it made me kind of think about, like, Trout's moving to right field, which I am so happy for him. If that means that he is healthier and we get Mike Trout back.
Yeah, longevity.
I am so happy for that. I will miss him in center field, but I'm happy for that. But it made me think about stuff. Bryce Harper moved from right to first after his Tommy John. And that looks like it's worked very well for the Phillies.
Yeah, it's worked great.
Very well. They've got Nick Castellanos in right. You know, you're talking about Soto in right last year for the Yankees. Like, Judge is going to move over to right. That's an upgrade in right field for the Yankees.
Yes, it is.
Because Soto's a liability out there.
And I'm totally spacing. Who's moving to center?
I think Jason Dominguez is going to play center.
Yeah?
No. Dominguez is going to play left.
Am I high?
I'd have to look at the. No. You're not high. Somebody's playing center. Oh, God.
Well, I hope.
Oh, God.
Maybe they just got two guys out there.
Just rovers.
Left center and right center.
Just rovers. But it made me kind of think about some guys that it didn't work. Like, when Alex Rodriguez gets traded to the New York Yankees, Alex Rodriguez is pound for pound, steroids or not, whatever you think about that situation, I don't know if I've ever seen a player play the most important position.
Cody Bellinger.
Oh, right, duh. Cody Bellinger.
I knew it was going to be someone like, they literally got this offseason.
I can't think of a shortstop naturally more gifted at that position, arguably the most important position in the entire field, than Alex Rodriguez playing short.
I thought you were going to say J.J. Hardy.
He moves to third when he gets to the Yankees because Derek Jeter won't move from short. This is kind of a Jeter A-Rod situation.
Yeah, but also, like, that's one of those with Jeter. It's like, yeah, no, I play shortstop. And it's just kind of like, yeah, and you're pretty good at it. So, I mean, yeah.
He was pretty okay at it.
That's fine.
I will ask the question, you know, not to derail too much. Could the Yankees have been better if A-Rod played short, Jeter moved to second, and they brought in a third baseman?
I mean,
it's revisionist history, but I'm just saying, that's these kind of thoughts that I have with Devers. I feel like Devers refusing to leave third leans more to the what if than this is the better situation. Trout moving to right sounds like the better position for me. Bryce Harper moving to first? Sounds like the better position to me. Last time I checked, the Mariners had a third baseman in the early 90s named Edgar Martinez. He was not very good at third. He went to DH and is a Hall of Famer.
Whoa, weird how that happened.
You didn't know that?
That's crazy.
He started as a third baseman, moved to a DH because he wasn't very good at third. I worry if Devers is on the wrong side of history in this.
I think he is. I think that... I'm just very intrigued to see how this season starts off and if he just continues this trend of not playing third base nearly as well as some other dudes out there. And that's to put it lightly, that the fans are going to turn on him regardless of what he's doing at the plate. Again, man, it's going to take it, he's going to cost him runs in a game late, and that's all it's going to take, I feel. And
we're going to get into the American League East. There's no room for error in that division.
No, and, you know, tip of the cap to the Red Sox. I mean, they're definitely making this team better and going for it. This is probably the best Red Sox team that we have seen in the last few years.
I talked to Cooley. He said the same thing.
And so, yeah, I just feel that Devers, he's being stubborn. He's like, I get it. If that's what you want to do and play third base, but you have a guy that literally just joined the team and he's saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help the team win.
Meanwhile, you're like, I won't. I do what I do.
Yeah, it's just you're already off to the wrong foot in this new iteration of the Red Sox. And I think over time, as you said, like whether it's going to lead to him being dealt, but I don't know, man. If you're a Red Sox fan, could you not totally see yourself in a year or two being like, dude, yeah, let's keep Bregman and move Devers?
I think you could move Devers.
And get a lot.
And get a lot for him. And when he shows up and is like, yeah, I play third base, they're like, no, you don't. You DH. You've been dealt. Yeah, the team that enabled you is no longer your employer.
Yeah.
And you will DH.
Yeah, man, it's very intriguing to see how this goes because, yeah, again, and it could be one of those things where they do move him to DH and he's like, wow, this is awesome. I don't have to play as much and we're fine and look at us. We're great.
Like, I'll tell you what, I love baseball. When I was a kid, I played second base. All I ever wanted was play second base for the rest of my life. If you told me all I had to do was hit because I was really good at it and didn't have to do anything else.
Oh, dude.
Check.
Check. I sucked at every position out
Shohei,
of baseball.
You're going to do all this rehab to pitch? Why, bro?
And I sucked at hitting, too. I sucked at everything baseball. I did like playing catcher. I'm not going to lie, but my throwdowns to second were subpar at best. Yeah, if you told me that, Joe, all you have to do is hit, I'd be like, sign me up.
Done. I don't have to take a pay cut? No.
Yeah.
No.
You're going to still play and bat every single time.
People will love you more.
Cool.
We'll bat you second.
Sounds great.
Sounds wonderful.
That's awesome.
All right. Speaking of sounds wonderful, there is the front runner for the biggest free agent who has decided to not sign a contract extension with their current team, which places them right at the forefront of 2026. We'll get to that next. Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Love baseball? So do these guys. This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
What would you say you do here?
I hit dingers. Here's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
You can put it on the board!
What's Alfred D'Elia up to?
Oh, I have no idea.
Fuck! Spit on that thing!
That was my best guess.
What?
I don't know,
hopefully,
man.
Hopefully not. Hopefully he's hitting dingers somewhere.
I don't know,
at
man.
At a college. Like, how old do you think? He's got to be in college now.
Probably.
But why? Someone tell me why, damn it.
Why isn't he in the big leagues?
He will be.
Coming up in the second hour, we'll get into our previews. We'll start previewing some divisions through the American League East and the National League East. But some news that came across the board yesterday. I guess there was a deadline yesterday that nobody knew about until it became 24 hours before. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. signing a contract extension with the Toronto Blue Jays. That passed. He had not re-signed, and now it is basically official that Vladdy will test the free agent market.
He's going to look good in black and orange, I was going to say.
My question for you to start, before we start thinking about how the Blue Jays have completely messed this whole thing up. How much money do you think he's going to make? Soto money?
No.
Judge money? Betts money?
No.
More like Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts money?
Yeah.
Like a 10-year, 300 mil?
I would say probably a little bit more.
Not an 8-year 440?
I could see like 10 years 400, 10 years 450.
What do you think he thinks he's worth? 2 years 800?
I would hope he would think that he's somewhat around where I just said. At like 10 years 450 at the most.
Oh my God. Someone's like, I'll give you 10 years 440. You're like, you know, I got to think about this for a minute. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah. I that seems fair.
I mean, is that? I think that's.
I don't know.
For him, 10 years, 450? I mean.
There aren't many players in baseball like Vladdy.
I'm curious.
In terms of his size, his character, you know, he's pretty good at first base. Obviously, he's got the bomb power. He seems like a great clubhouse guy. He comes from baseball lore. I just don't think there are many guys in baseball that you can value like that. It's kind of like, let's say Jackson Holliday hits, okay? Second baseman can play short, probably should be playing short if they didn't have Gunnar Henderson. Comes from a pedigree of a fringe Hall of Famer parent in Matt Holliday, who I loved Matt Holliday as a player. What if in 5-6 years and Jackson Holliday becomes a free agent, what's that value? It's not just about playing shortstop and being a good hitter. It's about all the other intangibles. I don't know, because like Fernando Tatis Jr., his dad was okay. Bubba Shedd, his dad was okay. But Vladdy's dad is in the Hall of Fame, and he looks like he could be in the Hall of Fame too. I don't know how you value that.
Well, I can give you a calculated market value of what Spot.
That sounds like math.
Spotrac.com. Which I just found this feature like a week or so ago, but you can, any player, NFL, MLB, NBA, they'll give you a calculated market value.
Okay.
And right now, his market value, they say, is $35.6 million average annual salary. So that would be a, you know, estimated 12-year, $427 million contract. So it would be looking
at Bryce Harper level.
So it'd be more so
looking more than Bryce.
10 years.
10 years, 350.
Yeah, but what about the 0.6? I don't know how much that changes it, really.
Got to bump it to 375.
So, I mean, I'm a little bit over on that. But, again, I could see him saying, I want 10 years, 400 mil.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. And that's the next question. Before we get into, like, is he worth it? I mean, is he worth it? I don't know if that really matters. I mean, look at what Xander Bogaerts got. He's not worth that.
He'll be 26 at this time next year.
Good God.
So you're willing, I mean, I would say
10 years. I mean, a 10-year deal is at least six of high leverage.
Yeah, but again, it's just how things are going right now.
I'd rather have a 10-year guy whose contract ends at 36 than a 10-year guy whose contract ends at 41.
So what, you're going to go
paging Albert Pujols, paging Aaron Judge?
So then more team-friendly deal would be somewhere around like 8 years, probably.
Yeah, I'd probably do 8.
Yeah, 8 years at $300 million.
God, that makes him a free agent. Someone do math for me. What's 6 plus 8?
That would make him 34.
34? I mean, you could get a 4-year deal for like 25.
I mean, then again, it's like, what's at Vlad at 34? That's probably still got some juice in him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Legal juice. So why not sign him to 10 years?
There's no way the Blue Jays get him.
I don't know. They seem to kind of be effing it all up. So it doesn't.
They
really
seem like a worse version of the Giants when it comes to free
agents.
And that's not a place I want
to
be.
There's definitely part of me, I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you letting it get to this point? Like, what are you, like, I understand maybe wanting to restart the clock. The guy's going to be 26. Like, what are you?
I understand the Mets being like, I don't know on Pete Alonso. If we're talking first baseman, I don't know. You're a little older. Your average isn't great. Your bombs are awesome. I know the fans love you, but I don't know. How are the Blue Jays screwing this up?
Yeah, that's a head scratcher. It's like, hey, someone who was the MVP runner up 2 seasons ago and is in the prime of his career.
I mean, I'm gearing up for fantasy right now, and he is projected in the first round of every draft.
Rightfully so. I mean, you know, if we want to play a little bit of devil's advocate,
I get
started off the season slow.
Sure, he did.
Then he cut his hair. And started just
the opposite of McCutcheon. Remember when McCutcheon cut his hair and it was like, oh man,
God,
adios.
You suck now. No, he cut his hair and had a great rest of the season and still had, like, statistically, his numbers weren't even that bad at the beginning of the year. They were just bad in Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Correct.
Terms. So,
of a 25-year-old generational superstar.
Yeah, I'm very curious to hear any sort of explanation from Toronto as to why you would let him walk. And quite frankly, you shouldn't let him walk. If you're planning to let him walk, just trade him. Trade him before the deadline.
That's the next question. Do they trade him?
Doesn't this just kill his trade value, though? Like, if I'm a team, no. Unless I think I'm in a win now, I still think it's going to kill a little bit of trade value because there's no guarantee that he signs with you. His agent is Scott Boras, correct?
Correct.
He's going to go to the highest bidder.
I know. I present to you Juan Soto. The Yankees gave up a lot for Juan Soto. Michael King.
Did they win a title?
No, but they gave up the core of what the Padres are building on right now. And Soto still got his money. So does it? The Yankees were the loser in all of it. So to your point, the trade value sucks if you're the one that trades for him. But Soto turned out okay, and the Padres turned out okay. The Yankees sucked, but we just waxed poetic, and I'm going to in the next hour, that they didn't sign Soto, and they got better. So I wonder if that's the same thing from Vladimir Guerrero. But the question is, I don't know if Toronto will trade him. Is this a Shohei thing all over again? We believe that he'll re-sign with us.
Oh, dear God.
So we're not going to trade him, and we'll keep him here. Because right now, they have swung and missed. The only free agents the Blue Jays have signed in the last 4 years, this is off the top of my head, that they have signed in the last 4 years that they've gone after is Guzman and Santander.
That's right. They did get Santander. Totally forgot about that. And that
or
happened.
Gausman, sorry. Kevin Gausman and Anthony Santander.
Two former Orioles.
They were in it on Shohei. They were in it on trying to be in it on Judge. They're trying to be in it on Chapman. They're trying to be in it on every big free agent has a meeting with Toronto. Every big free agent has a meeting with Toronto. The best they've got is Gausman and Santander.
I think those are two mighty fine players.
I think they're great, players that I would love to have on my team.
I just don't see what they're like, all right, let's get rid of him and then what? Like, what's the end game here? You save a bunch of money, but you're going to suck then. Like, and again, I don't want to be hypocritical because I know that, you know, when we talked about Soto, it's very much like he's one player, you know, you need more than one player, but are the Blue Jays just going to full reset this thing? Like, their window closed? I mean, it kind of is closing. They didn't make the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Their offense is not nearly what it was two, three seasons ago.
Bo Bichette had a disastrous season last year. Springer is clearly on the decline.
So maybe it is just Toronto, you know, them packing up their suitcase and saying, we're out of here. You know, best of luck to the rest of the AL East over the next few years. We're going to be the bottom feeders, and we're going to try and rebuild this thing.
Real quick, where do you think he goes?
Oh, God, I haven't even...
Do you think he gets traded?
I have to lean that way. I have to lean that he gets traded right now.
I think he gets traded, too.
I don't think he does. I think the Blue Jays convince themselves that they can bid for him and get him. And I think...
Then just do it now, though. That's, you know, sorry to interrupt, well, but again, that's just what I feel like. Like, if you're...
I agree.
...trying to wait it out, like, just sign the dude, then.
I agree. I think his number's astronomical. Like, all of Boras's guys get to free agency for a reason. There's a reason why the top guys sign with Boras. I think that the number that he's asking for right now is stupid.
Probably in that 10-year, $450 million range, like I said at the very beginning. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what he's asking for. Like, if he wants 45 a year.
I bet you he ends up a Texas Ranger.
Well, I know that there's been some talks about that.
Or an Angel.
It would be very Angels-esque for them to trade for him and then he sucks. Or blows they sign him and he's just not good anymore.
All right, we come back. It's time. Loaded second hour. It's time we will dive into previews of Division Series Plus, a Will Ortner edition of Fair or Foul at the bottom of the hour. There's a lot to get to. Also, side note, just to keep up with if you were listening to Primetime, BYU had a chance to be up by 40 on Kansas. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. That's how rough this is.
I forgot that this was the Primetime Bowl. The Primetime Classic, rather.
R.I.P. Kansas. R.I.P. Isaac Rop. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner. Danny the Fan.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good.
Pal
I'm
around.
I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase. Oh, there's stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second round of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You can download that at the Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com. Odyssey app. Wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Ortnerfy. We got Fair or Foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. That one didn't resonate very well.
I like it.
Ortner Willify?
That's what Willify. He says to the ladies.
Willify would have been good.
You're about to get Ortnerfied.
You're about to get Ortnerfied.
Not baby. One that's ever come up.
Get away from me.
Not yet.
Don't touch me.
Don't touch
me. I think if I drop that one, I think I'm going home empty-handed.
I don't know.
Give it
I
a think, try.
I think, you know I
think,
what I will?
I think you might go home one-handed.
Be hanging out with
me and mean righty again.
Just me and old Rosie.
Jill.
Jill. Oh, okay. Ooh.
Do you do like the South Park Jennifer Lopez thing where you dress her up with your hand?
I love you.
Put little beady eyes on it.
I'm just out here enjoying my 20s. Damn it, guys.
I'm an old school stranger guy, you know, just sit on that hand till she gets numb.
God.
We're gonna preview. I was about to say slide, and I was like, I don't think that's a good idea. We're gonna start
we're
previewing.
About to astro glide into this next segment.
We're now here, ready to preview divisions leading up to the season, as we always like to do, as is tradition on the Hot Corner, going back to days of future lore. And I'd like to start in the American League East. Let's just get a little juicy as we ride in this. Last year, the New York Yankees won that division. The Baltimore Orioles made the playoffs. And the rest of the division was really strange. The Rays kind of dropped off, despite being their normal Tampa Bay Rays. The Red Sox got hot kind of at the end of the year, even though it didn't make the playoffs on what I thought was going to be one of the worst teams in baseball. And the Toronto Blue Jays finished dead last and just looked atrocious and lost doing it. So, Joe, I'll open this floor to you. You look at this division, a lot is going on. Okay, Bregman to the Red Sox. Garrett Crochet is in the Red Sox now. Walker Buehler is a Red Sox.
Yeah.
The Red Sox have clearly spent some money, gone after some things. As we touched on the first hour, there's this Devers situation, which is now going to lay over their heads. But we both agree, even though he's a cheating loser, that Alex Cora is a fantastic manager. Your Orioles, beautifully created system here. The studs they got there are going to be there for a long time.
Lineup is great. Lineup starting is, rotation.
A little questionable. And now you got the Blue Jays that seem to swing and miss on every free agent, including maybe ones they have in-house. So, Joe, I'll ask you real quick, like, how do you see this division kind of shaping up?
I mean, you said it earlier in the show that there is little room for error in this division.
Very little. I think this is the toughest of Vision top to bottom. Yeah, top to bottom. I think this is the toughest division.
I mean, because didn't really mention the Rays at all, but I mean, they have talent.
I don't know how you count them out. Shane McClanahan's coming back. I mean, Taj Bradley was their second best starter last year, and he might not make the rotation after injuries come back.
Was it the French dude from the Dodgers that's on the team that they got in the Glasnow trade?
Junior Caminero looks like a Jackson Merrill, Churio kind of holiday kind of stud.
As far as on pitching goes and guys returning, I mean, like, is Drew Rasmussen, former Oregon State player, is he going to be able to come back and get back to form how
Rasmussen,
he was?
McClanahan, I mean, Spears, they got guys coming.
This is... very hard to predict, this division.
I think,
like,
so, too.
It is a total crapshoot. I feel like we can basically confidently say that the Blue Jays are likely to finish last.
I think so, too. That rotation is really rough. They got names, but they had names last year.
Yeah. I mean, they're 1 through 9 right now, projected opening day. Springer, Guerrero, Santander, Bo Bichette. And then after that, it gets a little hairy. Will Wagner, Alejandro Kirk. They did get Andrés Giménez at second.
I love that pickup for them.
It's a good one. I mean, that infield with him, Bo Bichette's a great shortstop as far as what he brings at the plate, you know, to be seen. Ernie Clement at third base.
That's your third.
Nathan Lukes at center field.
Yeah, we're a little rough.
I mean, as far as 1 through 9 goes,
Springer can't play center anymore. Speaking of guys moving,
and then you know,
they just signed Justin Turner today.
You look at the 1 through 9.
No, they didn't. The Cubs did.
You look at the 1 through 9 for the Rays, and it's kind of similar where it's pretty top heavy. Yandy Diaz, Brandon Lowe, Junior Caminero, Josh Lowe, Danny Jansen at catcher, Christopher Morel, and then you go to Jonathan Arenado, Johnny DeLuca, Taylor Walls.
Two things I will say about Tampa. One, Kevin Cash.
Yes.
Kevin Cash / management.
Yeah.
Okay? That will always put Tampa in a position to not be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Might not make them World Series caliber, but it will put them in a position to not be terrible. Number two. They are not playing at Tropicana this year.
That's right.
They're playing at Steinbrenner Field, okay, which is a replica. The dimensions are a replica of Yankee Stadium. My Rays friend told me this. He said, we're not winning the division. We're not probably going to the playoffs. But we have some guys that hit really well at Yankee Stadium, and we're in a carbon copy of Yankee Stadium. It doesn't look like, you know, the flagpoles in the outfield and, you know, the hallowed grounds and the ghosts and all that stuff. But dimensions are dimensions. I think they'll be a little sneaky.
I think so, too.
I think they're going to be that pain in the ass team. We always have them in each division. There's a pain in the ass team.
Well, and the thing with the Orioles is that while their starting pitching leaves a lot to be desired, like, Zach Eflin's probably going to be your two behind Grayson Rodriguez.
Oh, for the Orioles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to be heavily relying on their offense, and their offense did not finish the season well last year at all.
No, and they have a little bit of a playoff problem. They have a little bit of a big game problem.
Yeah, they haven't won a playoff game since 2016. Was it 0-10?
I give them a little bit of a pass because of how young they are. They're still learning.
But this upcoming season, this would be the third year in a row they make the playoffs. I don't think you really get that excuse anymore. I understand a couple of years ago you were like, hey, man, they just got here, and when they lost to the Rangers, okay, pass. Last year, you scored one run in the two games against the Royals.
Against
a Royals team who was not playing particularly well either.
They weren't at the end of the year. I like the Royals this year. They did not play well last year.
So I really don't think they get much of a pass if they make the playoffs this third
year.
And
what really concerns me about the Orioles is Hyde.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he's on the hot seat.
I don't know if he is.
I think this nucleus is so important and so crucial and so ready to do something. And you can talk about being young and ahead of the game and flaring out. And you can talk about like being ahead of the game and still kind of not performing. I don't know if he survives a third time in the playoffs with no results.
The only reason I think he does is because he went through so many bad seasons with the team.
I agree, but so did the guy before AJ Hinch, and what's his name? Exactly.
What's his name? Jose, damn it!
Yep, exactly. It might be time. That's my biggest. Now, I think at the deadline, I think the Orioles are stacked enough that I think at the deadline, they have the ammunition to go get somebody. It just depends on who's on the market, and they need a pitcher. They need a starting pitcher. You lose Corbin Burns, and there's no replacement. Now, who's the Korean guy that they got?
Oh, God. It's spacing me, for God's sakes.
Right, he's Korean, I believe. They got a guy who's supposed to be legit.
And he's probably going to be their fifth starter. And I want to,
and we'll see what Grayson Rodriguez does. You know, there's still a chance that the guys they have in this rotation are still good. We just got to see it. The bullpen is going to be fantastic.
Well, Grayson Rodriguez is good.
He is good.
They just got injured all hell last year.
But is he great?
That's going to be the hope.
Because you had Corbin Burns.
Well, and you spent a first-round draft pick on Grayson Rodriguez a couple of years ago, too. So, my God. And he's from Japan. Tomoyuki Suganu.
There you go. I think of all the teams in this division. God.
Fangraphs has Charlie Morton as our third starter.
You should. Old man Morton, he's great.
41.
I think of all the teams in this division, obviously the Red Sox and Yankees have huge pressure on them. I think the Orioles have the most pressure on them. And that's why I worry about Hyde. Because this is a big year for them. And everyone in the division is getting better.
I mean, you look through their 1-5 or 1-9. I mean, Henderson, Rutschman, Ryan O'Hearn, Tyler O'Neill, they picked up in free agency. Colton Cowser, Ryan Mountcastle, Cedric Mullins, Westberg, Jackson Holliday.
I mean, Jackson's going to be better. Adley and Gunner, you have to assume, are just going to keep getting better.
Well, and Adley needs to be better this year.
Yeah.
He did not have that great of a year this year. The big question marks on this 1-9 is Tyler O'Neill. Is he going to be able to provide you the power that he's been doing in the last few years?
Sure.
And do it efficiently? And are Mountcastle and Mullins able to bounce back after having really down years as well? So, God, it honestly kills me to somewhat think that this might be a Red Sox Yankees race for number one.
Well, that was the quick question. I think you know, Joe, if you got to pick someone to win this division, I think we're taking the Yankees.
Yeah,
I don't feel great about it. Will, you can chime in. Jordan's not here, so we'll just make your picks. We'll attach them to his. It feels like this division is the Yankees, but I don't love it because I don't love their starting pitching. You know, they got Devin Williams in the bullpen with Luke Weaver, but I don't love the rest of it. And as much as I love adding Bellinger and Goldie, I still think there's a lot of holes defensively, and the infield I don't think is very good for the Yankees. I'm really down on Jazz Chisholm, but the money might come to the future. Does anybody think the Red Sox can win this division?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're gonna be a tough out this
year. I think their offense is gonna struggle.
Fangraphs has this year's projections as Yankees winning, Red Sox coming in second by just two games. They literally have every team in this division separated by five games total. They've got Yankees winning it, Red Sox coming in second, Orioles third, Blue Jays and Rays tied for fourth. I'll get you some win totals, too, when we come out of the break.
All right, we'll write them down now. Will, you get to choose for our backup producer, Jordan Schultz. Who do you got?
I'm probably leaning with New York.
Okay.
I'm just going to stay chalk on that one. It feels like they always find a way to
be
in the mix.
They just got better, quite frankly.
Joe, you'll take the Yankees?
Yeah.
I'm going to take a big midseason trade. This is my big swing of the season. I'm going to take Jozo's. I'll take the Orioles to win this division.
And I love you for it.
I like them in the midseason making a trade for a stud, whether it's like a Sandy Alcantara or a Shane Bieber or somebody like that.
It'll be fun to get Sandy back.
I just think I love the nucleus of these kids in Baltimore. I have to believe in them.
Well, I'm glad that one of us has faith in
it. It'll be my wrong take. It'll be my biggest wrong take. Yanks will win the World Series. I don't know. It'll be my big wrong take, but that's what I'm going to say. Right. Speaking of that, when we come back, we'll slide over to the National League and check out the East. Also a little competitive, but maybe not as much so. We'll do that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Will Ortner behind the glass. 1080 The Fan.
Love baseball? So do these guys. This is The Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Fair Foul coming up in about 15 minutes.
Do you want some AL East win totals?
I do, please.
According
hit me.
To DraftKings?
Hit me.
I always like this quick game, and we'll try and make it quick here. As guessing the win total?
Okay.
Baltimore, what do you think it is set at?
Baltimore.
And Will, you can play this as well.
Baltimore, I'll say 87.5.
Will?
92.
Ooh, I love the optimism.
I love Will's optimism.
87.5.
Ooh, baby!
Right on the money. New York Yankees.
94.5.
Will? 92.
91.5.
Ooh, Will, we'll get that to Will.
Boston.
Wow, it really is that close.
Yeah, Boston.
Now, do I have to guess their choice or what I think?
Well, I got DraftKings here.
I know. Do I have to guess their choice or can I tell you what I think?
Well,
they're...
I mean, it's, you know, you saying a number shows what you think.
I'll say 86.5.
86.5. Wow. Sorry, Will, I totally jumped the gun on that. You were going to say 86.5. I know you were.
No, that was the actual answer?
Yeah, my bad.
86.5.
Bloop.
Ooh, how about this?
Tampa Bay, Will, you go first. What do you think for them?
Probably 77.
Okay.
I'm going to go 84.5.
You guys meet right at the middle at 81.5.
That seems, I might take the over on that. I might go to A&A during fan madness and put some money on the Rays.
Well, your track record's so great on that.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe.
Toronto's, what do you have there?
I think Toronto's going to finish last. I lean more towards the, like, 80.
I'm going to go
79. I'll say 79.5.
77.
And it's 78.5. Look at you two.
Right in the middle.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah. That was hot.
Will's all negative and I'm all positive.
I'm kind of aroused over here.
All right, let's slide over to the National League East. A very interesting division, right? Who won this division last year? Well,
I mean, it was the Phillies, right?
Yeah, that would be the Philadelphia Phillies. Who went further in the playoffs in this division?
The New York
Mets. That'd be the New York Mets. Who has won a World Series most recently in this division?
The Atlanta Braves.
Correct. We can all know that Miami is toast.
Whoa!
Should, Joe, right before the season starts, we should talk about who we think are the worst teams in baseball. It might not be what is Colorado Rockies. It might be the Miami Marlins.
I mean, the fact that they literally signed nobody and they were already one of the worst teams.
And traded dudes that were good.
Let's bring it back. I think we're really on the come up this year, guys.
I will say, if you're a nerd baseball fan out there, watch the Nationals. Watch them. Dylan Cruz, they got some guys.
my pick last year to be the worst team in the MLB.
And they surprised us both. They were a lot better last year than we thought. I really like the Nationals as a team to just watch. Last year I said the Marlins were going to be that pain in the ass out in the East. That was wrong.
Yeah, they were for themselves.
I think Rizzo and that front office in Washington is really building something. They got a lot for Juan Soto when they traded him to the Padres, and that is starting to come fruition, plus their own draft picks. I really like what Washington is building. They're just not there, but I think you should watch them. I think they might be fun.
I think
they might be fun.
I think that they're going to be who's the team that who the Cubs were supposed to be last year for us, where we said that the Cubs. Well, I think we even took the Cubs to win the division.
I took the Cubs to win the division. Yeah. I know that.
So okay, maybe not that far. I'm trying to think. I feel like there was a team last year. I think this was kind of like our AL Central last year, where we were like the Nationals could be my Tigers or your Royals.
Yeah.
Where they are a little bit more competitive, just better than they've been in the past. Like, not maybe a playoff team, but just a tough out.
And I think they
good young talent and, just better than expected.
And I think the Nationals could be that. The difference between that conversation is the Royals and the Tigers did make the playoffs.
Yes.
I think in this division with Atlanta, New York, and Philly,
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be basically impossible, especially with, you know, we'll look at the National League West in the future. I think wild card spots are very few and far between. Your best bet in this league is winning your division. So that puts us as Braves, Mets, Phillies. And I'll start real quick with a hot take. I actually don't know where I'm going in this division yet. I'm waiting for this conversation, Joe, between you and I and Will, before I can decide who I really think is going to win this division. But I will say this. Philly's got to win now.
Yeah.
They got to win now. Yeah. Nola, Wheeler, Harper, Realmuto, Turner. Like, Turner's the young guy, but even he's getting older. Like, this is the old team on the block okay? The Braves have some older guys, but they've got some younger guys. Spencer Schwellenbach, you know, Albies isn't that old. Let's not forget a guy named Ronald Acuna Jr. The Phillies right now, Bryson Stott, Alec Bohm, those are their young kids, but their core is Castellanos, Harper, Real Muto,
Trey Turner,
Schwarber, Zach Wheeler, Schwarber is old, Aaron Nola, like this team has to win right now.
Yeah. Man, and there was a graphic the other day, I don't know if it was on MLB's Twitter page, but they said, they're like, which lineup are you taking, Dodgers or Braves? And I was like, whoa. And then I clicked over to the Braves graphic. Dude.
1 through 9 is pretty nice.
Yes. You know, and the Braves just ran into just terrible injury luck last
Albies
year.
Albies was out forever. Olsen had a down year. And
everybody was out, it seemed like.
Michael Harris was on the DL for a while.
I would be shocked if that happened again. And then even the guys that you did have that were healthy just did not hit nearly as well. But they're 1 through 9, man. It's right up there. When I was looking at it, I was like, dude, it could be better than the Dodgers 1 through 9. 1 through 4 for the Dodgers is like, okay.
Paging 27 Yankees. What I really love is the Braves have lost Max Fried in their rotation.
Right.
And I still think their rotation is great. Strider's going to be ready at the beginning of the season.
Is he?
Yep. Spencer Schwellenbach is a new cornerstone of my fantasy league.
Forgive
That's
me.
How great I think he is.
Strider did not get Tommy John.
He did.
He did?
He did.
Okay. Because I feel like there was a player.
But he got it before the season.
Okay. My memory doesn't serve me correct. I remember there was a few injuries at the beginning of last year.
Strider, Bieber were the big Tommy Johns.
And there was one more that we thought maybe was going to have to get it, but didn't.
Gerrit Cole.
That's okay.
I mean, maybe you're thinking of somebody else.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and
look. But for me, the big ones were Strider and Bieber got Tommy John, both Cy Young caliber, and we thought Gerrit Cole was going to get his Tommy John, and he didn't.
Yeah, maybe it was Cole.
Then turned out to be pretty good.
You know, there's part of me that wants to take the Braves, but
there's part of me that wants to take the Mets. Frankie, Juan Soto, Nimmo's healthy, Pete Alonso's back. They're the, like, sexy, like, look at all these dudes we got. Alvarez, the kid, like, let's do this.
Yeah, it's just their starting pitching.
It's garbage.
Yeah.
And I think their bullpen's not very good either. They got the best reliever from the Yankees and decided to turn him into a starter. I do like Kodai. I do like Kodai.
I am leaning the Braves just because I will find it hard to believe that they're going to have the same injury bug as last year. And this team is very good. They have a great manager. I just think that also the Phillies, once they started playing better teams, like, it was one of those.
They got out to that big stretch last year. We talked about it all season long.
It was one of those schedules, man, where it was like you played a lot of garbage teams to start, and you did what you were supposed to do against bad teams. You won. But when they started playing better competition, the wins started becoming less and less, and that gap got closed a bit. Where the Mets felt like they had a chance to win the division. The Braves, they kind of, you know, fell out of it because of the injuries again. But if things stay all good, injury-free, I feel like this is the Braves division this year.
Will, you got anything to contribute? You get to choose for Schultzy.
Take the Marlins.
I have a hard time going against the Phillies.
$100 on the line.
Just because of...
Going against who?
The Phillies, just because of the success that they've had. But also at the same time, doesn't it feel like the window's gone? Like, it was there.
Well,
I don't think that they win this year. I think it was there, and you've seen...
When they lost to the Astros in the World Series?
Right. Like, most teams, if they're kept together and Nico Harrison doesn't trade away their star, you go on a bell curve. And now not everything is truly linear, but
like
you're going to have...
Bell in Philly.
Ah.
I got you.
Cheeky. Nice.
You're just going to have moments, though, where it's like, here's your peak, and if you don't win it in those 2 or 3 peak years, you go back down and... Right now, as much as I want to take Philly and I want to be proven wrong, I think they're a fun team. I like it when they're having success at the end of the year. I think the Bank is a fun baseball stadium to have
home games.
It might be top one.
Yeah.
It really might be. If you're talking about pure postseason baseball, it might be the Bank. But there's just something about that team that I just don't trust. I don't know that I necessarily go to Atlanta then, but it feels like
a Met kid in the house.
I think I might go New York.
Go there. There's no reason you shouldn't. Because they got a top five player in baseball in Juan Soto.
Right.
Okay, their bullpen is better.
Their owner is willing to spend, and he will go out and make a move if they're not in the right spot.
Frankie Lindor was bad for a couple years, and he looks like what he's bought and paid for right now, if not more. Pete Alonso's back, should be more invigorated, more focused. I don't think you're wrong to choose the Mets.
Acuña's knee's 90%.
I'm putting the pen to paper for Mets.
Let's go Mets. Let's go Mets.
I will finish and we'll get out of here on this because we're way up against it. We'll do fair or foul next. I fully support everything you said, Will, about the Phillies. Except I'm the opposite. I'll take the Phillies. Desperation. This is it. Three. This is the last push.
It's either now or it's now.
Dombrowski, I trust him as a GM. I trust him as a president of baseball ops. You've got to do it now. Real Muto's coming up. Turner's coming up. Harper, you're on the books for forever, and he's aging.
Schwarber's
you got to do it now. Schwarber's old. You got Wheeler in a prime coming off of Cy Young. Aaron Nola was supposed to be your future. Little stumble, but he's still an excellent top-tier pitcher. I'm going to take Phillies out of pure desperation. I kind of like Joe's take of the Braves being solid and just weathering the storm. But I also love Will's take of the Mets being sexy and getting on a run. I'm going to take the Phillies. I think they have the best roster top to bottom.
And I will get you win totals before fair or foul.
Great. When we come back, fair or foul. But first, we'll throw it to the big fella, Will, for sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is Fair or Foul. Without further ado, we'll turn it over to our number one producer. Never misses a show. That is Will. Oh, no, no, wait. Hold up.
I have win totals. I'll just run through these for the sake of time. Miami.
No, we want to guess.
All right, fine. What the hell?
That'll be the fair or foul.
Fine. Miami. What's theirs?
5.
58.5.
Yeah, I'd say. Let's go.
They all won prices, 62 last year?
All prices rights it. 57.
63.5.
Oh, better than last year. Okay.
Washington. The Nationals.
Ooh, I'll go 73.5.
70.
It is 72.5. And now we get to the top of the division.
Oh, God, I have no idea here.
Atlanta.
They have them finishing third.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm mixing it up here. Maybe they're supposed to win it.
Atlanta, I will say 89.5.
Let's go 87.
93.5.
Ooh, wow. I like that. Bravos.
Wow.
I probably would bet that under.
That seems high.
The New York Mets.
90.5.
I would say 90.
90.5.
Bloop.
And the Philadelphia Phillies?
I'll go 96.5. I'll double down on that. I'll take that Pepsi challenge.
92.
91.5.
Wow, they have the Braves winning that division.
By win total, by technically DraftKings. But FanGraphs also has projected for the Braves to win the division as well.
I wonder how much of that is, because with gambling, you do have to remember, is it the recent success and the name value that they have?
Totally. And are people going to bet that number down, bet that number up? Yeah, I'm with you. You're the gambling guy.
I mean, FanGraphs has They have Atlanta at 93-69.
I was surprised to hear that number for Atlanta.
They have the Phillies projected at – they have the Mets and Phillies both projected at 87 wins, so hitting the under.
Wow, because I would think the Phillies – God, I would think the Phillies and Mets would be over 90 and the Braves would be under 90 from Fangraphs. But, hey, that's what they do for a living. We'll turn it over to Will Ortner for fair or foul.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had a arbitrary, let's call it a deadline, that did not get reached with the Toronto Blue Jays. Fair or foul, he actually gets to free agency.
Oh, we kind of talked about this already. Go for it, Pat.
My name is Patrick.
Don't ever call me that again.
This is fair. I mean, I think... You know, Will, you mentioned this with Scott Boras, and we talked about it earlier. I think he kind of said, like, this is where my number is. If you're not interested, I will go see if somebody else wants me for this number. And I actually think it's really dangerous if you're the Blue Jays, for him to say, this is where my number is. And they're kind of like, hey, we don't think we're there, so you should test. And then he tests. Let's say he finds out nobody wants that number. Do you think he's going to be like, you know what, Toronto? You were right. My number's not that. I'll come back to you. I think he will. I think he will for sure go to free agency. It's too much money. All the drama with Soto, he wants that.
So are you framing this as if he won't get traded? Because, I mean, he
got to go framing this as no trade.
Okay.
But then they get
because
the
he's
going
to go to free agency, obviously.
We don't know that. I mean, he could still re-sign this year. They could renegotiate.
He could get traded, and maybe he re-signs with them.
Yeah, he could re... Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I don't think either of those are going to happen. I think that... I don't think he's going to get traded and then sign with that team, like, in the middle of the season. Or get traded before.
The Padres tried with Soto.
I'm going to say foul that he does get traded at the deadline to some team. God, how did I say that out loud? I'm doing a walk back in my own mind.
Cleveland.
Seattle.
I'm sticking to my guns that he gets traded.
He could actually mash in Seattle.
Oh, my God.
He would actually be a great fit.
He's hitting 212.
Dude, he could totally hit in Seattle. Dude, that right field porch ain't bad.
I say that he gets traded before the deadline. Some team picks him up with hopes and dreams of signing him in the offseason.
It's just center and left in Seattle, okay? That's really all it is. Right field ain't that bad.
It's crooked. I've been on home plate. It's crooked.
And the gaps in center and left, or center right and center left, are huge.
It's crooked. The batter's eye. I blame the batter's eye.
Just saying, Manny Ramirez loves doubles.
Manny loves him some Manny, too.
That is true.
In spring training, they're going to start trying out and testing out the automated ball strike challenge system. So if you don't know what this is, they've done it a little bit in the minor leagues where an umpire might say something is a ball. Pitcher can challenge or catcher would challenge. Batter, if it's a strike, they can challenge. They check it. It takes about 30 seconds to go through it. Fair or foul, this is actually bad for baseball.
I will start. I will preface with I thought larger bases and pitch clock were bad for baseball because I thought that they were attempts to speed the game up but would actually slow it down, and I was very, very wrong. However, I will double down on that. I think despite strike or balls being called and reviewed that quickly, I still think it'll slow the game down. And baseball is on a momentum, a trajectory of getting this game faster, getting this game more exciting. And if we're finishing games in under 2 hours, I want to keep it there. And I'm afraid challenging balls and strikes will extend the game. Also, the human element has been the history of the game since its creation before the Civil War. All right? Go ask the imperfect game. Go ask the Royals who won in 86. Go ask a bunch of calls that are missed. Like, I love that part of the game. Foul. Fair. I think it's a bad idea.
I agree with Patrick. We're going to get it, right?
I know.
Yeah. I mean, That's one of those things. Is that I feel like this is a
but reviews, I think, would be bad. I
feel like this is an exercise in futility, me saying, no, this isn't good for the game of baseball. They should never do it. But they're,
Wazoo
they're
will join the Big 12. False.
Yeah, it's not good. I agree with Patrick. It'll slow things down. The human element, and say what you want about, like, old men umpires that can barely see and know what's going on, shouldn't decide games.
Dude, go watch the English Premier League. Those refs are on fire all days, every day.
It doesn't matter. Every sport has old dudes making bad calls, so I don't know why MLB and baseball has to curtail to technology and making this happen, but whatever. You know, if this is where things are going, we'll still love the game of baseball, but I just think it's, yeah, a step in the wrong direction.
Hey, nobody in baseball is going on their own podcast saying that the sport is boring, so that's great.
It's true.
Not yet, at least. I'll tell you right now, I hate robot umps or any call towards it.
I thought you were going to say, I hate Draymond Green.
I ignore Draymond Green.
A random thing that I saw today, though, as far as, like, people saying that their sport sucks. Kevin Durant went on Twitter today and basically
said his sport sucks.
Yeah, told someone
that's
like,
two in 4 days.
They're like, go watch hockey then.
Because Draymond was like, this is boring.
Yeah, someone was like, well, you know, NHL, or they're like, where's the physicality and, you know, the intensity? And he was basically like, dude, go watch NHL there. That's pretty physical and intense.
Don't you know we're soft and we like it?
To his 21 million followers basically saying, yeah, don't watch us then.
They're the worst.
It's just like, not the smart move there, Kevin.
All right. By the way, Kansas lost by 35.
Yeah, that's butt-whooping. Last fair foul, Joe Buck. It was announced
Joe
will be
Buck!
On the call for the Brewers-Yankees
Whoa!
Opening day game.
Whoa!
It's his first baseball call since 2021. Fair or foul, we need more Joe Buck calling baseball games.
Fair. And I have warmed up to Joe Buck immensely over the last couple of years.
His football's good. His football's really good.
He has this sort of demeanor and, like, he just carries himself much different in the booth than he used to 10, 15 years ago. He almost has this kind of, like, don't give an F, like, hate me or love me approach now, where he's not as polished and not, that is a disgusting act by Randy Moss. Like, I have really come on to like Joe Buck a lot more over these last couple of years, and I think that his baseball calls are fantastic. I think that he should be calling a lot more important games in baseball. I like Brian Anderson, don't get me wrong.
Oh, I love Brian Anderson.
But I think we need a bit more Joe Buck in baseball.
This show is knocking on 10 years. I have spent the last 10 years of my life telling you that Joe Buck is atrocious, and he has an agenda, and he called the 04 World Series where the Red Sox broke the curse, but they beat the Cardinals, so his call is garbage because he didn't want his dad's team to lose, which they did. They got swept. Manny Ramirez, World Series MVP. Go Tribe. Fair. I need more Joe Buck in my life, because if there's anything about baseball that we love is controversy, and I love hating Joe Buck. I love hating him.
He's crazy.
And I listen to every game he calls. I would turn on the radio if he was calling Cardinals games on the radio July 8th, a Wednesday, against the Pirates, and I don't know the names of the starters. I would turn it on to hate Joe Buck. Yeah, give me more Joe Buck. His football is fantastic. His move from Fox to ESPN. Remember when that happened? We were like, that's a dumb move. And in baseball, we were kind of like, whoa, no Joe Buck for the World Series? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, again, he just kind of has.
But then Fox figured it out, and I think Fox baseball coverage is fantastic right now. But then he went to ESPN and just did football and was like, oh, right. You're one of the GOATs. And now I get it. I will watch that game. Is it on TV?
I would assume it's on ESPN.
Like ESPN. ESPN has the first game, so he's gonna do ESPN games instead of Carl Ravitch and Alex Rodriguez and Eduardo Perez.
I don't know about that.
He's not gonna do like Sunday Night Baseball. Like,
I think it's still Carl Ravitch.
I mean, I love Ravitch.
Joe Buck doesn't need to do that.
I'm Carl Malone. That is Will Ortner. That is Fair or Foul. We come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, Today in the Fan.
It's always baseball season. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Coming up for the next 15 minutes, Patrick thinks Joe Fisher is a joke. Patrick thinks LeBron James sitting out the All-Star game is a bigger deal than Drake May being a Pro Bowler.
I think that LeBron that screwed someone out of an All-Star appearance.
Some dude that I just said Kazuntai when you said his name was more deserving to be an NBA All-Star than Drake May in the Pro Bowl.
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to find out who would have taken his spot, and I'm going to look in his contract, and if there's a clause in there about that player being able to make an extra million or two, because he could have been an All-Star, and LeBron took that away from him, you're not going to be laughing.
But that doesn't mean he deserves it, Joe.
Well, he does.
No, he doesn't.
He had a good year.
No, he had a fine year. He had a fine half a year that nobody watched, and he got in because the second greatest player of all time decided to sit one out. That doesn't mean he's better than what he is. That means he's the same as what he is.
I'm pretty sure.
Is Drake May a better player because he made the Pro Bowl this year? Will, football boy, is Drake May a better quarterback because he made the Pro Bowl this year, or if he didn't make the Pro Bowl this year?
Probably
he
made the same.
He probably made a couple extra bucks, though. Good for him.
So who? These guys all make more bucks than we all do. What the hell do you care?
Good Joe, it actually might matter.
Get your finger
Drake
on the dump
May.
Button for a minute, Will.
It might actually matter more to Drake May because he's on a rookie deal. So he has a big signing bonus, but then everything else is slotted.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So when he makes a Pro Bowl, it could be a bigger deal for Drake May because he gets paid more.
That's right, because when I become a free agent, I might sign a more lucrative deal than the one I have currently.
I think it's just
Patrick Harris, not Drake May.
Well, I'm saying the Pro Bowl clause.
I know that guy plays football for a living and makes what's the league minimum? 7.5
He makes more than the league.
Exactly, minimum. Will. Get out of here. Some dude like what did you say? Gesundheit? Is that who it was? Played 15 seconds?
Alperen Şengün.
He made the All-Star game though.
Because yeah. People
voted for him?
Called out.
Well, no.
Nobody else called out. LeBron's the only one that called out.
I'm not paying attention to who actually made it.
LeBron's the only one that called out.
I believe so.
Nobody else called out?
No, there was someone else, I feel like. I don't know.
Alperen Şengün, he made it. He was not a
What team does he play for?
He's on Houston. Basically, the Rockets needed a player, and he's the best player on the Rockets because the Rockets, I believe, are second or third. Oh, they're fourth now. In the West, that's why he made the team. He was the best player, essentially, that had an easier spot to get in because they weren't going to put in Jalen Green.
LeBron's selfish.
This is a bad take, dude.
LeBron's selfish, man.
What are you about to tell me? The Blazers got a better chance of winning a natty than the first overall pick? Is that where you're going with this?
Absolutely not.
They can't win a natty because they don't play college basketball.
That's just mathematically not even true.
Shout out Sports Sunday.
Yeah, I should probably fill in what Patrick's talking about. Rashad, love him to death.
Our good boy Rashad. Rashad Evans, as I like to call him.
We did talk about that.
But
on
I
Sunday
always
too.
Think it's Rashad Lewis. Like when I say Rashad Evans, I think it's Rashad Lewis.
Rashad said.
Although Rashad Evans might be the better compliment.
He said that the Blazers have a better chance right now to win a championship than they do at getting the number one overall pick, which again is just mathematically
incorrect.
Not true. And also just optically in just looking at the trajectory of this team is not true.
Also capture the flag.
100%. Well, we are not going to be able to do that. We peed our pants, and now we're in the locker room.
Fair or foul, Cooper Flagg plays one more year at Duke. Real quick.
I pray to God he does.
Fair. Let's go, baby.
He's not going to. He is so gone.
Why not? Make $3 million and hang out with Duke.
Yeah, make $3 million this year and delay making $40 million
I love it.
One year more.
He'll still be number one. All right, we're off next week. We'll see you in a couple weeks. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Thank you, Will. Love you, baby. 1080 The Fan. Do something I do.